Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day is Galatians 6. Here again, the words, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision or counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." This is a portion of our text. 1776 seems very far away, especially these 243 years ago. Yet here we are after the celebrating of its beginnings, the birth of a new country, the United States of America. There are those who looked with joy in celebrating this event. There are still others that just enjoyed the long weekend. And yet there are still others who look at the very inception or even for what this country stands for in disdain. Today, we'll examine our country, our church, as well as ourselves, so that we may truly celebrate what we have in Christ. I can only imagine the frustration of our country's forefathers. Think about what drove them to write the Declaration of the Independence, to put their lives on the line to make such a declaration. Think about the powerful government of George III encroached on their liberties. Think about the abundant opportunities that they thought they had to make a better life, and yet they were so hindered. Many sought religious freedom, and yet only future generations would seek freedom from religion. Witness what happened even to the family of President John Adams, who lived in Puritan-founded Massachusetts. He himself was a faithful Congregationalist, and yet his son ended up denying the Trinity and joining the Unitarians. My point is that life in this country is messy. What do you do in such a world? Just as our forefathers were faced with this question, so we also are faced with it in every generation. We too see our country in turmoil. People have a lot of different opinions about what should be done. In fact, even more opinions about what is really wrong. We too have a large government, and yet it seeks to encroach on our liberties. We too have many opportunities and yet are hindered in many ways. We too have religious freedoms, and yet we find that the next generation experiences so much pressure to be free from religion. What do you do? Could we build a better country? Later this month, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is going to be meeting in convention. Our church fathers also sought a better country, a better church. They left their homeland to come to America. They sought to escape religious persecution, which stifled the truth of the gospel. However, after they arrived, they found hardship and even dissension among themselves. It got so bad that the pastors didn't even conduct worship services, and people refused to come. But they couldn't go back home. They were broke and bitter. What were they to do? What would God have them do? So Paul gives this advice for the Galatians and also for us as well. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that is what one also shall reap. That's how God set up the workings in this world. You can't plant beans and expect peas. If you plant beans, you should expect beans. If you plant peas, you should expect peas. So also, with our spiritual lives, if we live opposite to the commandments of the Lord, we cannot expect to be blessed by the Word of God. What are we to do? That we would have a better country, a better church, a better congregation, a better life. Life can be better. And the reason it can be better is because of you. The philosopher Edmund Burke said, "If you want a cleaner world, start with your own kitchen." A church member waiting to be asked to serve his own congregation is like a member of a family waiting to be invited to pull weeds in his own front yard. Like a passenger in the family car waiting for the driver to invite him to help change the flat tire on the highway. Like a member of a church family, or member of a family shyly waiting for a piece of fried chicken, and then when it's offered, says, "You know what? Somebody can eat it better than I." Like the perennial fumbler who can never get his money out soon enough to pay the check at dinner. Like the church member who may have some other weakness, denies the very gift of God within them. In other words, it's your church. Volunteer. Now, the Galatians had taken this to heart, and after Paul had left, some others had come, and they said there was a way to be more faithful than what Paul had said, more faithful than the gospel that he had delivered. Many believe these newcomers who said that they had to become Jews in order to become, or in order to be real Christians, seemed a better deal. Easier than helping people and rescuing people from their sin and simply believing the gospel. Because loving people, rescuing them from their sin, is hard work. It's draining, it's exhausting, and sometimes it seems downright impossible. It's much easier doing something with your hair, changing your clothes, or doing something with your body, isn't it? It's easier to fix buildings and bring flowers and dress up for worship. As it was for the Galatians, we too. What do we do to prove that we're really Christians, that we're really the believers? We know that there is something missing in our lives. It's our own righteousness. Indeed, if we want a better world, if we want a better country, if we want a better church, if we want a better congregation, if we want a better life, it begins with ourselves, but not in being better. Because we have no righteousness of our own. It begins with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with Him declaring who we are. That's what baptism is all about. That's what your confession is all about in receiving the absolution, confessing that we are sinners and indeed need God's forgiveness, hearing that we are declared holy, righteous, and innocent because of Christ. Our existence before God doesn't depend on what we can do. Our existence depends on who Christ is and what He did for us. Jesus is the reason we do good for others. Jesus is the reason we love. Jesus is the reason that we would even attempt to rescue anyone from their sins and restore them gently. Because of Jesus, we watch over ourselves so that we are not tempted to fall. The way Jesus brings us into a better land, into a better country, is by Him breaking into human history before the final judgment. Jesus breaks into our lives to rescue us from the condemnation of our own sin, from our own unfaithfulness, from Satan and from hell itself. So every time a person believes, Satan the accuser falls. As we heard in Luke chapter 10, when we love someone, when we do good to someone, when we rescue them from their sin, we change the direction of their lives because of the goodness of Jesus. Their past becomes crucified, their lives better, and maybe they too would hope in Jesus. For anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If we give up hope, what hope will there be for anyone? But as Paul said, far be it from me to boast in the cross, except in the cross of Jesus, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What counts is a new creation. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.